So I think we'll move on. Last couple of weeks we've the last couple of episodes, we could quite easily get ourselves a wee side gig as a football podcast. But I think last couple of sort of mini episodes, we're getting quite deep into the sort of cinema side of things. So probably I'd like to just bring it back to like what's going on round about in, you know, Scotland and the UK this week, and kind of pivot back to some of the stuff that we kind of normally talk about. For me, like we've spoke half mic, but I don't know, man. Like, I didn't think that the Tories could get any worse than they already were, because they have been an incompetent shit show for like 13 years now. But like, seeing the last couple of weeks, it's like almost like the last days of Rome type thing going on, where, you know, we had the first one that kind of jumps out to me is this like Bibby Stockholm barge that was there in recent weeks. And again, it's just like the next step in the sort of dehumanisation of like immigrants and refugees, because as we've said in previous episodes, they want them as an election talking point. You know what I mean? The French are still sitting in France going, we'll help you set up some offices here and we'll just fix this. And they're like, no, we don't want to fix it. We want this as an election issue, because it's the only thing that actually keeps us in the mix, is that the country is riddled head to toe with fucking racists. And we get to point at these people and be like, oh, these guys are the problem. And it's went from Rwanda to, you know, that's, where are we with that? That's not happening. It's bullshit. It's pie in the sky nonsense that has cost us.
We're still talking about it now.
Exactly. Right? Because they've went, well, if we can't get them off of British soil by sending them to Rwanda, we'll get them off of British soil by basically patting them on a floating prison in the sea. And you're like, that is like some sort of fucking shitty Bond movie.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, you know, the you know, the island, you know, the Dr. Evil island, you know what I mean? Like, except this is just stacks and stacks of, like, you know,
containers.
Aye, like shipping containers.
With legionnaires.
Aye, and this is the thing, they were told up front, and this is what got me about it, was that they were like, these are not, like, hygienic.
Fit for purpose.
These are not fit for purpose. This is going to lead to, like, legionnaires outbreaks and such and such. And they were like, aye, fuck it, we don't care. Like, pop them on. What did they get, like 15 people on that barge before they had to take them all back off again because of legionnaires? And you're like, you were told this was going to happen, and you were like, we don't care. And then the minute it happened, you were like, oh Christ, get everybody, you know what I mean? Because they leave themselves liable to all sorts of legal challenges and all the rest of it. So even though they knew it was going to happen, they went away, and it's like an exercise in shooting yourself in the foot. So it's like, and I'm like, I don't get what the thought process behind it was. They're saying something like it cost whatever it is, £2.8 billion to, are they renting, or did they outright buy these? I think they're renting.
No, I think they're renting it.
They're renting these barges, right? And the total cost them £2.8 billion for a country that, well, we can't just find money whenever we need it.
You know, like, no, magic money tree.
They were comparing it, and this was the one that I loved about it, they were comparing it to, what is it, the fucking, the sea line, the
Titanic.
Well, aye, probably a bit, probably a mere apt comparison, you know,
a P&O cruise,
but you know, the jewel of the sea.
Oh right, aye, like the jewel of the sea is like the biggest cruise line.
And it's got like flumes and fucking cinemas, and like you can basically go live there. It's like a floating city. This thing costs like £800 million to make, and you're like, this like barge in the sea is like three times more expensive, and nobody can use it.
Like a luxury cruise liner that takes middle and upper class people run the Mediterranean while, like, you know, having shows, and I think they make puzzles and all sorts of fucking nonsense, right? Costs £800 million to build, and you can own it, £800 million, but instead they spent £2 billion on renting some fucking shipping containers.
Remember, right? So most of the money will have gone into middle management and people who are sitting around talking about it.
Sorry, you were just talking.
So sitting around talking about it in terms of, like, in terms of taking money out of that pot. So it's a money grab, like you say. That any money that it'll be like a Tory party member's spouse that owns the contracting company for the fucking barge.
Yep.
So again, it's just going to be another 2.8 billion or whatever it is, 1.8 billion. That's just gone straight into the back pockets of the fucking Tories, like before they get fucking dethroned.
And it's not as if that's new, because alongside that we've got an environmental secretary who has got £70,000 worth of shares in Shell. There's, you know, that education secretary who was, I do a fucking good job and people should basically applaud me, while like schools all in the country crumble, as like palming off millions of pounds of like construction work to her husband's company. Like even the Prime Minister, Sunak, is changing laws that directly affect his wife's businesses. Like he had to come out the other week there and apologise for a change in the law that coincidentally made his wife's company £20 million. Mm. You know, oh, I didn't realise that she was involved. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, so that, like, money grab is such a part. And it's like, as I was saying about the last days of Rome, it's like people just sitting with, like, bin bags just being like, fucking, well, thing, this take all your, take all
like, I don't know, like, it's either...
feels too obvious. It's so obvious.
It is so obvious. It's either that or we are literally being ruled by a bunch of morons. But I don't think that that's the case. I think it could be both.
It could be a mix. Some are column A, some are column B.
I think they're morons in wolves' clothing. Like, they're fucking, like,
playing the idiot. They play the idiot.
Like, you look at Boris. Like, Boris has done that his whole fucking life. The guy's not stupid. Like, even fucking even Trump does it. Like, it's so obvious.
Aye. To be the everyman. We're just like you.
Mm. And then you get people that are like, you know, like getting fucking a bulldog in one chest, but a fucking Boris tattoo in another. But, it's literally, they know that they're on the way out, and I just don't think they give a fuck. I think they've gave up in that respect. And they're just trying to siphon as much money for the people that have put them into this position as they're trying to get them as much as possible. Yeah. I think that is literally what's going on.
Like, and it's been going on since the pandemic and beyond. Like, you know, austerity and all these things were about siphoning, and like Owen Jones wrote about whatever 10 years ago about it, you know, about, you know, it's welfare when Joe Public loses his job and wants to, you know, get 50 quid a week off the government. But when, you know, corporations want tax cuts or banks want bailed out, it's in the national interest, but it's still corporate welfare. You know I mean, like, it's moved beyond that now to like straight up corruption, when you've got, you know, PPE scandals and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that went on there, where the pandemic was used as a sort of prima facie for just straight up fucking robbery. You know what I mean? And it's now continuing on beyond that again. I think the incompetence is also there, like, front and centre as well. I mean, you look at, like, this week, right? There's the Tory party have had to come out and, like, address the fact that the guy who they put on as a researcher on the China desk is an actual fucking Chinese spy. Like, the guy's got lifted, right? So that like, actually, like, putting the guy who is, like, actively being accused of reporting back to China on the China desk in government, and you're just like, how does that happen? Like, how little do you need to care about what it is that you're doing that you actually let, like, a Chinese spy essentially run the fucking China desk at government? You know what I mean? Like,
how do our secret services not pick up
on that? Who knows that they don't, because they picked up on the Russian guy that Boris Johnson was swanning about before he became Prime Minister and went, you can't make this guy a lord, he's an obvious foreign agent, and he just went ahead and did it anyway.
They did anyway. Like, the intelligence community
are only to advise.
They're only there to relay information, and they can't really do much about it. But
Johnson literally fucked off for a G7 summit in Italy and slipped his detail to go on a 3-day bender with his Russian pal, you know what I mean, like, and come back, and they were like, what did you get up to for the last 3 days? And he was like, fuck you, you know what I mean? Like, that's mere mendacious, but this is, like, incompetence on a level that you're talking about, there is an obvious stupidity involved in that decision making process, that what vetting and whatever else, they're like, we don't give a fuck about that. Just say, they're like, we're on the way out, just if he wants the chain desk, give him the chain desk, fuck yeah. It, you know what I mean, like, there's a Chinese spy allegedly.
I think they were out the day giving it the Labour like you're talking about, just wanting to create talking points for like political campaigning. They've already, they came out the day and they were saying that, I think their tagline is that if you vote for Labour, we'll become a dumping ground for immigrants. They actually think that it's like this weird thing that you see happening in America as well, where they're like, Biden's a communist, and you're
oh my God, man, that place has been off the deep end.
It's like, what world do you live in? Like, I seen somebody the other day on a podcast say that Biden's government's a Bolshevik invasion. You're like, what world? Like, you just don't live in any form of reality. Like, they're going to be trying. How are the Tories going to paint Keir Starmer's Labour as some sort of loony left wing? Like, I don't see how that they're going to do
that.
Way
they've always done it, and they'll have their mates in the right wing press hatchet job them at every opportunity.
What, you think they'll try and red head them?
Oh, like, fuck.
How are they going to do that to Sir Keir, who's a fucking been, you know, like a lawyer and prosecuted everybody under, like, you know, he's a law and order.
Facts don't matter anymore.
Surely he's going to be campaigning on, like, I'm a law and order prime minister, and, you know.
Corbyn supported him.
You would expect
that. So that's it.
What's that?
Corbyn supported him.
Oh, yeah. So, his friend. I seen that. There was, like, the clip of him saying, Jeremy Corbyn's a personal friend of mine, like, back when he was running for leadership, and it's like...
Mm. And even with the Tories now, like, you go, hang last week, what was it, the other spy, the Iranian spy who was in the British Army, you know what I mean? Like, who the guy who was at Wandsworth, this guy escaped for... Now, this guy was in prison charged for being an Iranian spy in the British Army.
Is that why he was in prison?
He was in prison explicitly for that, right? Now, they put him in no maximum security, but whatever the one under maximum security is, right? So, one... Show me anybody anywhere on a fucking espionage charge that is in, like, pure, like, medium security, right? The prison itself, and I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures of it, the guys who are the head of the prison services have been like, we've been screaming about this for 10 years. Like, the prison is, like, Victorian.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean that in the sense that, oh, look at all the lovely, like, Victorian brickwork and all that.
Aye,
see when you go inside it. Aye, it's like some not a fucking Dracula movie.
Uh-huh.
So it is like, Victorian, uh-huh, like, in the sense that it's like a fucking old school workhouse. You know what I mean? Like, so this guy, this Iranian spy, managed to get a job in the kitchen. So not only is he not in maximum security, he somehow manages to get a job in the kitchen where there are, and this is a guy who's army trained, where there are, like, knives and all sorts of implements that he could use to, like, seriously harm other prisoners, right? Doesn't he do that? Somehow manages to fashion straps that he uses to, like, basically cling under a food van that's coming in and out the kitchen. Uh-huh. And then gets through, like, multiple levels of security that each involve searches under vehicles. Amazing. So they missed him at three different gates.
Amazing.
He then gets an hour up the road, bails out, and they catch him on CCTV. It then takes them, like, 4 days to find him, right? And you're like, an Iranian spy with British army training who has, like, shown initiative enough to escape a prison. They find him an hour up the road 4 days later. Like, he's in fucking South London, like 90 minutes for the prison.
That's insane, aren't
it? And you're like, took him 4 days to find the guy that didn't even leave the fucking neighbourhood. You know what I mean? Like, and you're just like, the whole, that's what I'm saying, there's not a bit of UK life just now that is influenced by the Tory party at Westminster that is not in total and utter shambles.
Uh-huh.
Like, the whole thing is chaos. There's MPs resigning. Did you see fucking Doris finally resigned?
Uh-huh.
Did you see her interview?
I didn't see that.
Oh my God, man. It is honestly... We'll maybe try and drop some clips in.
Has kind of opened the door on free hits at me from anybody who wants to make them throughout the summer. And it's kind of whipped up a public frenzy and it's resulted in the police having to visit my home. But this nonsense that my constituency and my constituents have been ignored, it is nonsense. Rishi Sunak became Prime Minister without a single member's vote or a vote from the public. No one has voted for him to be in that job. There's been no emergency fiscal measures, no emergency budget, no debate. There is no plan. It didn't need to be this way. It didn't need to be this way.
But like one is, like, you're talking about America, where it's completely separated from any actual reality. And she literally sat in front of a camera, smiled, and spent 20 minutes talking the most unhinged bullshit that I've ever heard in my life. Like, honestly, if you've not seen it, look it up. Like, the woman is a fucking crackpot. And the press just said, oh, yeah. 2 days of, like, just mad, random, crazy quotes for her. And you're just like, no, there's a resignation after resignation. They're dropping like flies.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, we're no standing for re-election and we're no coming back. They know they're beat. And they've just gave up. And like, call the election. Just date it. What are we clinging on for here? Like, this is over.
How long have we got to wait? May? Next year?
I think it's in that ballpark, but it's getting to the point now where I think it'll be before that. But
right.
He needs something. Sunak needs something that he can hang his hat on ahead of it. And right now, all he's got is just shambles and chaos. I mean, you're getting into, like, Prime Minister's questions. I don't know if you've seen the footage of, like, Penny Mordaunt, the Navy officer who's, like, probably never set a foot on a boat in her life, but makes the one that was, like, hoarding the sword during the...
Isn't she
so good for standing still holding a sword for an hour? And you're like, okay, if that's what does it for you, you know what I mean? Like, so she is very much looking to me like the kind of... If Boris doesn't make the pure WWE-style comeback where, you know, they fucking smash cut to him, like, kicking open the Westminster and, like, being, I'm back.
Aye.
Like,
what Trump's trying to do in America.
This is the next one, so as Mordaunt.
Right.
And she's a horrible bitch. Pardon the language in that respect, but,
how,
like, she's a horrible bastard.
How do you get to
become
somebody who gets to hold... Is she... I suppose what I'm asking, is she related to the monarchy in any way? Like, what?
No, so I think she is, like, she's either, like, chief whip or she is, like, leader of the house or something like that. So she is, where it's one of these very, like, administrative positions within the party at Westminster, and it entitles you to that. That is your responsibility as that person within Westminster. And maybe, like, Jacob Rees-Mogg was previously, like, leader of the house sort of type
thing. He wouldn't have been able... To be fair, I think that's... Maybe that's why the BBC have been, like... Well, look, because Jacob Rees-Mogg wouldn't have been able to stand there for an hour. Like, his wrist would have broke, like, he's pure waif. Do you know what I mean? Like,
the actual,
fucking,
like,
waif on.
4 foot sword would have, like, tipped him out and disbalanced him, you know what I mean? Like, but Morton's just constantly talking Scotland this, Wales that, and she's just horrible. She's a nasty, nasty piece of work with no meaningful, like, actual policy behind her or anything like that. But then they all are. But I think she's the one, and she was sitting the other day there, Sunak's getting it, Prime Minister's questions, and somebody caught a video of her, and she's sitting there huffing and rolling her eyes, and, like, just, like, being like a petulant child.
Publicly, like, disagreeing.
Publicly, I was ever going, oh, I don't agree with anything he's saying, but she's there, oh, fucking, oof, and you're just like, that is so childish. Uh-huh. Like, but she's speaking to people with the mentality of school children. Aye. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
so there's something about... And I don't even think, I suppose, like, I'm not entirely sure, because I don't see any other parliaments around the world, but there's something about UK politics that is kind of childish, the way that they go and the way that they sort of deal with each other. And it's, like, always, the one that always gets me was when, I think maybe Corbyn was the leader of the Labour Party at the time, and obviously there's stuff about... And we spoke about this in previous, like, long ago when this happened, but they decided to change unemployment benefit for whatever it was called to universal credit. Yep. And it was a way of sort of getting two fingers to the universal basic income. And
it was.
Ian Duncan Smith was stoning like that. Like, I think at Corbyn and McDonald at the other side. And that is the level, that is the sort of mentality. Like, and we talk about, like, people think, you maybe get people who'll be like, but that's part of it, and you're like, but you can't just switch that on and off. Like, you're either a cunt or you're no cunt. Like, you can't walk into Parliament and be an absolute fucking spiteful, childish, arrogant arsehole for, like, 4 hours of your day, and then come out and be like, right, well, now that's over and done with, I'm back to being a nice guy.
Maybe somebody should explain that to Matt Hancock, you know what I mean?
Well,
or whoever else pops up on Dancing with the Stars next or whatever the fuck
try,
it is.
Trying to whitewash their fucking...
There's going to be a tsunami them after the next election. You know what I mean? Like, place holding to the next time they can actually get themselves back in. You know, popping up on daytime TV chat shows and panels and game shows and...
Look at fucking Liz Truss has got a book deal. Who's gave Liz Truss a fucking book deal? She's wrote a book about economics. Like, they presided over the single worst ever fucking budget. Aye. And she's wrote a book about... It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
And she almost bankrupted the entire country overnight.
Uh-huh. Do you know what we should do?
£85 billion she cost us, and she's talking about economics.
We should pitch a show. I think Channel 4 would be up for it, where we put this current Tory cabinet on the barge with a Legionnaire's disease and see if they can survive.
They've also got like a selection of like different weapons hidden on the barge. A bit of a battle royale.
We could do the Stanford Prison Experiment.
That would work.
Rishi Sunak's cabinet.
Yep. I've always wanted to do the reality TV show where, like, you know, everybody gets their own cell or room, as they might have referred to it, but it's a cell. And like the public vote every week, just execute one of them, and whoever wins is just the last one that survives, and we'll let them back off.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of them need to go.
That way, with their walking on, they've been all their contracts has been like, you'll have a room, and then they walk into the set, and they're like, why does that say cell? And they're like, oh, hey, sorry. There's another wee sign that goes out of that says rooms, like, sorry. And then they're like, this feels like a cell. It's a room. Oh, right, okay. Gaslight them the way they fucking gaslight everybody else.
You know what I mean? Like, I've definitely watched that shit, especially if they were getting executed. But, as I say, I don't expect anything from them or of them, because they are an absolute shower of shite and always have been. But in the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks, we have really, like, We've tipped to an edge here in the country where you're just like, the economy's in a state, these guys cannot fix it. Like, they're even starting to, like...
They don't want to fix it.
Well, they don't, but they're even starting to, like, quietly, like, re-sign back up to certain EU programmes and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, we got Brexit done, but you're like, so, can we get in on this? And they're like, why, whatever. You know what I mean? So the EU is very much like, I'm on a cross. Like, there was never a beef. Like, uh-huh. It was all you. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like,
that's it.
So there's no consistency. There's no direction. There's no moral compass. There never has been. It has been like, if it's no nailed down, lift it. Was the thing the Germans did, you know, so the scorched earth policy at the end of World War II. What was it? There's like a pure German word for it, but I can't remember. And it's like, but
they just moved to Argentina.
They just lifted every bit of art and gold and, you know, just anything across mainland Europe that wasn't nailed down, they were like, mine.
Moved it Bagsy. To the Vatican.
Bagsy. 100%. Or sitting in a Swiss vault somewhere, you know what I mean?
I was thinking Soviet, the fall of the Soviet Union is a bit like this, where, you know, guys were flying over for America and walking into warehouses, and guys that were generals in the Soviet army were like, how many tanks do you want? How many AK-47s do you want to ship off to, like, whatever fucking country that you're trying to destabilise? Exactly. Exactly.
It's kind of ironic, because it's almost like Britain is the barge.
I mean, it basically is a
metaphor for ourselves.
It does feel like it. That's a good fucking point, mate, actually.
It's surreal being in this, though, isn't it? Because, like, you've got...
You
get like Stephen Fry on the BBC basically being like, do you realise how stupid we look to the rest of the world? Like,
aye.
And the BBC being like, well, there's some things, and he's like, don't kid yourself.
Like, I was just like, hence I'm done. And she was just like, alright.
The rest of the world is looking at us and laughing, you know. And it's like,
not even that. There's the Chinese.
Well, Europe at least.
Have you seen the Chinese guy? I don't know if you've seen it, Shep. But there was one, it was like, I can't remember who it was, like Jeremy Vine or some one of the pricks. And like, they were talking to a guy for like the Chinese Foreign Office.
Right.
And they were talking about, you know, Britain's place in the global market. And there'd been this deal struck between Russia, China, the EU, yeah. America, Australia, and everybody, basically everybody in the world except
all
the UK.
The African countries. Is this like the opposition to NATO, basically?
No, this was like a trade deal sort of thing. It might be the beginnings of something,
but it
involved America and all these other places, including like China, Russia, and all the rest of it. And the only people pretty much excluded on the global scale were the UK. And
I think the US were excluded.
Possibly.
It's the same one that I'm thinking of. It was very much basically everyone who wasn't the West.
Right. Yeah. Maybe. But at the same time, well, Russia are doing a lot of work in like Asia and Africa, they know, so we might be talking about separate things, but aye, this particular one was like, they had the Chinese dude on to talk about how, you know, this deal was going to happen and why Britain were excluded. And he was like, so, I mean, how did China feel about excluding one of its biggest competitors? And this wee Chinese dude was like, mate, the fuck are you talking about?
Why are you a threat? How would you regard your relationship with Britain?
First of all, between China and Britain, from the Chinese perspective, Britain is not a rival, is not a competitor, it is not an enemy, is not an adversary. Britain is just an important country to get along with in peace and in friendship and for mutual benefit. Now, how Britain looks at China, it's up to the British government and people to decide. But I think it would be completely misguided for Britain to view China as an enemy or adversary or a competitor. What do China and Britain compete with? China is the largest manufacturer of automobiles. Competing with Britain? No. China is the largest exporter of EV cars and will lead the whole world in EV production. Is Britain a competitor? No. China will be the biggest and most important producer and R&D in terms of semiconductor in no time. Does that mean that China competes with Britain? No. China will be the leading nation in AI revolution. Is Britain a competitor? No. So I think British government should not overestimate its impact on the global scene and view Britain as a rival of China. China is not. China is a fact. China is a megatrend for Britain to live with and get along with. Let's make peace rather than agitating for war.
And he was like, what? And he was like, you're not our competitor.
Competing in what?
And he was like, with this thing, it started rhyming off. He's like, so we build cars, like you don't build cars. Like we're the leading manufacturer in electric vehicles, you don't build electric vehicles. We are technology. The leading in green infrastructure and technology, you don't build any
we're
of that. Like, and he went
plants.
Through point yeah. by point by point. And then he was basically the end of it, like, pure, talk to me about how we're competitors. And the English guy was just looking at it like, I've got nothing. And you're like, aye. Because like Paul says, on a global scale, the UK is a joke. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, it's the UK was only able to compete because it was an empire. Like, let's face it. I mean,
that
like
was 150 years
no,
ago.
No, I but we're talking about the remnants. We've been making money off the back of it for a long time.
Oh, aye.
But what I mean is, like, as a country, we're very small. In fact, I would say that our biggest output really to the world is ingenuity, invention. Like what we do is we come up with a new
way
thing, and we
money.
Bring it to the world, and we also like make money off the back of that.
Yeah,
that's fine. Like we've got the oldest colleges and universities in the world, with Oxford and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are like, yeah, of course Scotland's produced Jesus, like some of the best technological advances in the bloody
yeah.
world, right? So this is what we do, but like, yeah, we're never going to compete on manufacturing and stuff, and neither we should. But what we should be doing is able to be self-sufficient for our own stuff,
mm-hmm.
because you can't.
This is the thing, right?
We're
is
not.
That, like,
we're
not. I'm talking about like manufacturing. Is that they deindustrialized us because it was cheaper to get it for
yeah.
these places? Now it's not cheaper to get it for these places, and they're, you know, I mean. I think there's been many political people that have spoke about it, but guys like Trump were talking about the reindustrialization, and I know that he's a fucking moron. He's like, I'm going to bring back coal, and everybody was like, well, no, you're no. But why don't we reindustrialize?
Well, I mean, Bidenomics has brought manufacturing back to America in the last 2 years on a scale that has never been seen before. Like, and that's something we can maybe talk about down the line, because we've not talked about America for a while, but I think, like, this week, maybe, like, keep it UK stuff, but there's so much of the Trump and Biden stuff to get into that I don't think we can do it like justice in like 20 minutes.
No, absolutely
an hour.
Not.
But at the moment, Biden's economic plan in America
is to reindustrialize.
Is basically, but he's invested a 10-year plan that has created more jobs in 2 years than any president has ever created in a 4-year term. Like, American inflation at the moment is like just under like 1.5%.
Can we
it's
say
like a
that
quarter
that's...
of what it is anywhere else in the world. Like, he's created 13.9 million jobs.
But is it really? Because like these things. Everybody knows you don't get elected, put something in place within a month. It then takes fruition within. Like this is all. This must be to some degree a historic thing that he's reaping the benefits of in his term, so, or somehow is
not really because
his muscles.
He's doing is not necessarily building plants or whatever it is. What he's doing is he's fixing roads, he's fixing bridges, right. He's putting infrastructure in place all across the country that makes it easier and cheaper for companies to exist there, which wasn't the case before. It wasn't just about the bottom dollar, about how many people you hire and what size of building you've got. It's about other infrastructure there to get our products out to the rest of the world, and in America had fell behind to an extent that he is now reversing, that has actually led to a massive, just insane. I mean, this is like the American economy is booming in a way that it hasn't done since the end of World War II.
So it's not really, it doesn't sound like it's a number that can be maintained then, because that infrastructure, once it gets to a point, they haven't got the, so they're not manufacturing, which is what we've just said.
Their manufacturing industry is,
which has created jobs, but that doesn't mean that they're like, if they need chips for computers for their cars.
But what I'm saying is, by every standard that the G7 and the G20 measure economies by, America is pretty much at the moment top of every single one.
I'd seen something about
so
that.
Again, I don't have all the immediate figures to hand, but as I say, he's created 14 million jobs in like 2 years, and you know, these are just like headlines. So there is an argument that we did deindustrialize, we have not reindustrialized, and some other countries like America are now taking advantage of that. So they are, because they can see that other countries are stepping away from it, and now they're trying to invest in ways to make America a more appealing place to invest. And at the moment, it is actually working extremely well. But some of that stuff will maybe, as I say, get into another episode in the coming weeks, because their detachment from reality over there at the moment is on a scale that I don't think anybody anywhere has ever seen before, where an entire country of 300-some million people has basically half of the population in a complete fantasy land and total denial as to what's going on. But again, as I say, we'll like deep dive on that another time. Maybe as some of the court cases kick off or whatever else it is.